This is a Dreamcast disc and is for use only on a Dreamcast unit. Playing this disc on a hi-fi or other audio equipment can cause serious damage to its speakers.
Dreamcast, up to 6 billion players.
Welcome back to the stage of history.
Why don't we play together?
Hey, it's time to make some crazy money. Are you ready? Here we go!
Please stop this disc
now. Please stop this disc now. Actually, don't do that, because if you do, you'll miss the high-quality programming heading your way over the next hour or so. Some people still ask what the music clip is that plays in the intro, and it's not Oasis, it's Salford Keys, which is a parody band from Metropolis Street Racer, so now you know. Welcome to another episode of the Dream Pod from the Dreamcast Junkyard. This is a newscast episode where we'll be discussing some of the latest happenings from the Dreamcast scene. Joining me is regular co-host Lewis. Hello, Lewis.
Hello, Tom. I am feeling as sprightly as ever.
Excellent. I forgot to introduce myself. My name is Tom. Thank you, Lewis, for reminding me that my name is Tom.
Yep.
also joining us for the first time, well, I say the first time, is a new voice, a long-time member of the Dreamcast community, long-time reader of the Junkyard blog, recent addition to the blog editorial team, and now almost debutant on the Dream Pod. Welcome, Lawrence Goodchild, a.k.a. Loz. Welcome, Loz.
Evening, lads. It's a pleasure to be invited onto the Dream Pod. I know you only, reserve these spots for the most distinguished guests, really. So I'll take that as a compliment.
Yeah, I say almost debutant because you did send us a voicemail for episode 100. So this is actually your second coming on the Dream Pod. How do you feel?
It's my first time podcasting, so, you know, I've got a few butterflies, but I'm sure the very friendly co-hosts will make me feel welcome.
I was hoping you'd say you felt resurrected, you know, second coming, resurrection, all that kind of thing. No?
Shall I just go? No, we'll have to wait for the third podcast.
I enjoyed your thorough reviews of both Postal and Shadow Gangs, as well as your recent news roundup, which we'll be basing some of today's chat on the pod. But seeing as it's been a couple of months since our last episode, I'm intrigued to know what you guys have been playing on the Dreamcast or on other systems. So I thought we'd have a little bit of a go around the room and chat about some of the games we've played in the recent past. Loz, I'm going to come to you first as the semi-debutant on the podcast. Brilliant. So what have you been playing on the current gen of the Dreamcast?
Nice. Well, it's good to be, not to be, what was it, last but not least, which I don't normally goes to James Harden.
It's always James, yeah.
Yeah, always James. So I haven't been playing much current gen. I've kind of just finished a house move, and so it's just been absolutely mad. But I've been playing the Dreamcast online. I've been playing Dreamcast online like regularly for most of the, well, we're still in the pandemic, but, you know, since the start of the pandemic, really, I finally got my Dreamcast back online. So playing Phantasy Star Online, a couple of hours on that, most Saturdays with PC Wizard. That's always good fun. And, a few other online games when I get the chance. Gundam, that is a really good multiplayer game. Some kind of funky menus that you have to get used to get into the game, but well worth it. And prior to that, lots of other online games, Star Lancer, Ooga Booga. That's kind of my bag, is playing the Dreamcast online. And I want to corral lots more people to take it up.
I'm guessing it's all through DreamPie and Dreamcast Now, is it, yeah?
Yeah.
Dreamcast Live, DreamPie.
Hit up Dreamcast Live. We can probably put a link in the description, can't we, for folks who want to check it out. It looks complicated, but it's very, very easy. So if you haven't done it yet, then give it a whirl.
Even an idiot like me can get online with the Dreamcast. So, yeah, it's it's pretty easy. Anything on current gen, Loz?
No, actually. I have got a Nintendo Switch that's sat in the corner of a room, very, very dusty. I had a pretty rampant Rocket League addiction on that for a few years, but that's been thoroughly broken now. So, no, nothing current gen.
Well, you'll have driving strikers, won't you?
Yeah, I was going to say he's actually to driving strikers, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's come back with a vengeance, yeah.
Brilliant. Thanks a lot for that. Lewis, what have you been doing?
So, on the Dreamcast, my pal Derek from, people in the community know Derek, and he... I was kind of saying to him, like, you know...
Name dropping again.
Yeah, yeah. I was saying to him a little while ago that, like, you know, could he, like, perhaps maybe give me the build he has for his GDMU, the way he's set it up? Because, you know, I've been using GDMU, but, you know, I know he's, like, a bit of a whiz with it. So I was like, you know, could you send me sort of, like, the way you have yours kind of thing, like the files? He was, oh, it'd be a bit difficult, but he was very kind enough to like gift me an SD card, which he sent all the way from his home in the States. So I'm using this, like, the Derek build, which is, like, you know, certified. And so I was playing a few games on there. So I played Watch Shenmue, because I have the game, like, physical, but I never actually, you know, played it really, because obviously it's in Japanese. It's a cool sort of, like, thing to mess around in, but... I'm a bit lazy to sort of, you know, use Google Translate or whatever. So I played the actual, I think it's Shenmue Dojo did a translation for it. So I played that from start to finish. Kind of a cute little tech demo. Obviously, it wasn't as exciting to me as I'm sure it was for, you know, Japanese players back in 1999, but it's still cool and sort of cool as like a technical showcase as well. Like, there was a few sort of weird things in it. Like, the main thing that stood out to me is I think if you press one of the buttons on the controller, Ryo just like crouches on the floor. That's just like a thing that he does. I don't know if that was intended to like do something, like, you know, like maybe just if you just wanted to just crouch in the middle of the street, there was an option there for you, you know, if you fancied doing that.
It's a good photo opportunity, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Posing. Yeah. Would have been good if they'd have put it back into like the remakes where you, I think is there a photo mode in that? I swear there is, anyway. Delete that if there isn't. But also cool to see the Coca-Cola vending machines as well, which obviously I've never actually, you know, played a version of Shenmue before with those in. So it's kind of cool to see Ryo chug down a grape Fanta, so that was interesting. But also kind of slightly relevant is obviously because, you know, we found out recently that Mr. Yukawa passed away. I think it was was it a year ago, and they only announced it recently, so it was cool to play the whole plot line where he, like, you know, runs after Mr. Yukawa. So that was like really cool to run through that and obviously see that famous scene where he wakes up in a room of unsold Dreamcast. But yeah, another game I played, an actual indie game, not on GDMU this one, but like physical, was a Bang Squared Busters, is it called? Bang Bang Busters. That's kind of fun.
It rings a bell, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like a Neo Geo port, sort of single screen game where you just grab enemies and like sort of spin them round and throw them. Kind of like fun. I haven't quite got to grips with the controls yet, and probably imagine it'd be funner on an arcade stick, so I might try that at some point. And then as for newer systems, I was playing quite a lot of Wolfenstein The New Order, because I always wanted to give that a go, and I was really surprised at like how deep it was, you know, not only like the story, but like the lore and like this whole sort of established world, like really cool. So, you know, it is, yeah, like mindless carnage with big weapons, but it's also quite thought-provoking, like the story as well. So
is that the first one or the second one?
The first one. I've got the second one ready because I think I mentioned this on a previous podcast, but my granddad, he's a bit old now. I think his arthritis in his hands has gotten to him, but he has been for many years an avid gamer. So wow. I just went round recently to visit, and he had the next Wolfenstein on PS4. I was like, can I borrow this? So I've got that one ready, and so that'll be great. I've heard that's actually, like, you know, a really good sequel as well. You know, they didn't drop the ball with it. So yeah, I'm excited for that. And then finally, just on modern systems is, on the Switch, a game called Pocky and Rocky Reshrined, which is a like redo of a shooter I really like on the Super Nintendo. that's not anything, you know, spaceship-based, but, you know, you're just basically a shrine maiden and a raccoon, and you sort of run around, like, temples, you know, firing talismans at evil spirits. I think it's by Natsume, I think that's the developer. But they did this this re-shrined version. It's more than just, like, they've put it on the Switch. It's... like, they've completely overhauled, you know, the sprite work. And so, and a good way to sort of see a comparison is actually Digital Foundry did a video on it. Is it, on the original, like, you might be going down, like, sort of a generic sort of stone pathway with, like, some sort of, you know, temple bits around it. But on this, it'll be, like, a whole staircase with, like, rock formations and plants and, like, other sort of flourishes of scenery. So they've, like, really overhauled the game completely, like, added all this beautiful sprite work. So it's really, really fun, if not kind of hard, but it's one of those games where the more you play it, the better you get, and the sort of... Yeah, so that's really good, and I really recommend people check that out if you're into shooters and sort of, like, Japanese games that are very charming, I guess. Yeah,
what's that one called again? Sorry,
Pocky and Rocky Reshrined.
Good mix there of old and new. Yeah. Me on the Dreamcast, I've only really been playing one game, which is NHL 2K2.
Nice.
I dragged it out of my storage box, and or rather my storage little bag, and just put it on the Dreamcast and played through it. And well, I say played through it, played a few matches, and kind of just got hooked back into it again because it's actually really, really good.
It's a solid game.
It is. It's just obviously the basis for the 2K ice hockey games don't really exist anymore, but the ones that came afterwards in that series, it's just such a good game.
Tom, is that the same little bag you keep Dreamcasts in, or is that a different one?
It is, yeah. No, I've got the one little bag that I keep a couple of Dreamcasts in. Most of my games collection, so they're always ready and easy to like get access to.
Do the cases not like get smashed up and stuff? Like, you know.
Most of them are like
already American beyond repair.
Yeah, most of them are the Japanese or American jewel cases, so they kind of slide quite nicely down the side of the Dreamcast consoles.
Right,
but, you know, just take some tips. All those people listening, take tips. A little shopping bag is all you need to put your Dreamcast collection in. Forget your shelves, you know what I mean?
Other supermarkets are available.
All the supermarkets are available, yes, of course, yeah. But yeah, on the Dreamcast, just NHL 2K2. Current gen, I've been playing Resident Evil 7 Village. Is that what it's called? Or is it eight?
It's like Village, but it's spelt in a cool way where it has a 7 in the name or whatever, yeah. But
yes,
great
so
game,
good.
Yeah.
Just so good. PS5 version with all the ray tracing. This is the first time this generation I've played a game and I've literally been impressed by the visuals. So good. Just a good game in general. Mm. And also another one on the PS5 called Terminator Resistance Enhanced. I'm a big fan of the Terminator films, well, the first two, anyway. And I just think the series kind of lost its way a little bit after 3. But Terminator Resistance is what you would like to see from a Terminator game. Like Alien Isolation is like the embodiment of a good Alien game based on those first couple of films. Terminator Resistance is like the gaming equivalent of the first two Terminator films. So it gets a thumbs up from me. One last game that I've been playing on the Xbox is called Andro Dunos 2. We will touch on this in a little bit because there is a Dreamcast connection, so I don't want to give too much away at the top of the pod, but I like it. I like it quite a lot, and I'm not even that much of a fan of shoot-em-ups or shmups, as we like to call them, on this pod. So, yeah, that's a great rundown of games that we've all been playing, guys. Let's move on to news, which is what this podcast is all about. It's a newscast, after all. First thing, not really news, but I thought I'd mention it. Dreamcast recently celebrated 23 years of age in the United States. Obviously, brought out on the 9th of the 9th, 99. Not so much of a big deal in this country because it was launched on October the 14th, 1999. Doesn't really have the same ring to it as 9999. And of course, in Japan, November 1998, so completely removed from that sort of dating terminology. But yeah, guys, how do you feel? 23 years since the Dreamcast came out, or 24 if you're in Japan.
Feel a bit old.
Perspective, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it was really cool seeing all of our American brethren in the Dreamcast community recounting like all their like nice stories on Twitter. It was sort of very high spirits from everyone, and you know, if anyone wants to sort of still reminisce who's listening, I'd recommend Brian's article where he ranks the launch games from worst to best, and I'm sure you'll probably get angry at his ranking, as did a few people on Twitter, but it's a good article nonetheless, very funny, so check that out.
I think what I've noticed is that with each year that passes, the kind of reflections on the birthday and what it means, it all becomes a bit more, how can I say, it all becomes a bit more cultured and more refined. You know, like in the early days, you know, everyone was probably still quite young, and the birthdays would just be like shitting on the PS2 or something. You know, really crude.
Still for me, that, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, well, that, you know, that can still be in all good fun. But yeah, you do. Yeah, I do enjoy seeing people actually giving their thoughts, reminiscing back on what it was like. Yeah, it's a lot of fun, but at the same time, you know, $99.99 for me, it's just not right.
I was going to say I'm hoping that all the Americans will be tweeting about 14/10/99 when it comes to the 14th of October. It doesn't really have the same ring to it, does it? 14/10.
For them,
it'd be 10/14/99. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, so 23 years of the Dreamcast. Wow. It's 24, as I said, in Japan. Just wanted to mention, before we jump into our first proper news little bit, that Shenmue World Issue 2 launched. It was actually some time ago, but I only got my copy recently. And just like Shenmue World Issue 1, it's just a brilliant homage to all things Dreamcast from Shenmue Dojo. And we will have Jim Brown, a.k.a. Skill Jim, on the podcast in the near future to discuss all things Shenmue. So look out for that in the very near future. But present day, let's talk about news. New Dreamcast releases coming thick and fast. Wave Game Studios at the forefront of this renaissance, as we generally call it, with things like Shadow Gangs, which you reviewed excellently on the blog, Loz. We've got things like Ploid and Rechnum from Nape Games, and there's a game called Morthorn that's recently released for the Dreamcast. Loz, I know that you did a fantastic news roundup for us on the Dreamcast Junkyard blog, which we will link to in the show notes. Thoughts on these games? You know, which ones have you played? Obviously, you played Shadow Gangs, but yeah, your thoughts? Really.
Yeah, I mean, I've played quite a bit of Shadow Gangs. Obviously, it's only fair to do so if you're reviewing a game, I think. Mm. And I feel like that's one of the big releases of the year. We're kind of at a weird stage now where we're getting so many releases that, you know, you can kind of start to differentiate between them. But I think that's one of the big ones, mainly because, you know, it's been in the works for a long time. It's a kind of homage to Shinobi in a lot of ways. And I think, you know, given the age of many of the Dreamcast fan base, I think that just appeals to a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Really gorgeous game, big sprites, quite a fun twist to it, really. Like with the voiceovers and that, I found them quite funny. I hope they
were. Yeah, so did I, to be honest.
Intended to be so. I must admit, the kind of hard as nails style to the game took some getting used to. Mm-hmm. I think I've been softened up in recent years playing lots of, you know, very forgiving games. But it was received really, really well. I think there's a lot of people that are looking for that kind of thing. And the handling of the release by Wave Game Studios was very good. JKM got that through really quick into production.
Superb. Just production quality with the manual and just the overall kind of glossiness of the whole package, really. This game could have been released. We've said this before on the podcast, but a lot of these Wave games could have been on shelves back when the Dreamcast was contemporary. Such is the quality of the releases with the glossy paper and the nice printed disc, you know, and even just not just the physical appearance of the game, but the game itself, like the quality of life additions that they put in there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What about these other games like Ploid and Wrecknum? Have either of you two played it, any of these, or Morthorn?
I must admit, I haven't, and that the knowledge I have of these other recent releases is pretty limited. I mean, I get the sense, I need to double check this, but I get the sense that might be quite widespread, because the initial print runs were pretty small. I think Morthorn, you know, it was only produced, the numbers produced only accorded with how many pre-orders were in on the Kickstarter. Yeah. And I think it was, might have even been in single figures. Obviously, that doesn't mean it's not a good game. If it is a good game, I'm pretty sure one of the various publishers out there, you know, whether it's Wave or Pixel Heart or, you know, whoever, might pick it up and do a reprint. But I must admit, I don't actually know very much beyond that.
I think a lot of these games, because they are kind of based on like Nintendo Entertainment System games,
yeah,
they do kind of get overlooked a little bit, I think, by the Dreamcast community, because they see them and go, that's not really what I want to play on my Dreamcast. But as Mike has alluded to several times, some of these games are really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I know about these games because of Mike, and he knows about them because of a chap on Twitter called Chris Nunn. So shout out to Chris. He'll literally always tweet at us like, hey, have you seen this new Kickstarter for obscure Dreamcast game that like no one else has seen? And we're like, oh, thanks. Like, thanks for the heads up. So he's like on the pulse. So, you know, he's our like kind of, you know, secret sort of spy that's like lurking in the shadows who tells us all these things. So
Chris Nunn, keep doing what you're doing, Chris.
Yeah. So
yeah, I don't know where he gets that news from, but, you know, just keep it coming.
Yeah, I think I don't know too much about Ploid and Wrecknum, but I think Morthorn is kind of like a Metroidvania kind of game. Mm-hmm. So, but they're all like NES. I think like Flea as well. There's a few like this where there's like a thing that could run on the Dreamcast that like runs NES games. You know. So from these discs, so yeah, there's quite a few like this. I believe if you put the disc into a computer, Low Tech Games, Alistair Lowe showed on his TikTok that like if you put the disc for Flea in a computer, you could just take the NES ROM and just play it on an emulator. So, you know,
yeah, the same is true of BBS 2. You could put the disc in a computer and you could drag the ROM off and play it on a NES emulator on your PC, which I did.
With Beavis 2, I must admit, I was a little bit... When I put the game in initially, most of these, you know, you wouldn't know that it's running on an emulator per se, but you put Beavis 2 in and it actually comes up with the Nesta DC screen or logo. Yeah. At least it did on my copy. And I didn't really like that, to be honest with you. But I think... You know, that game was put out for, what, £20, I think?
Mm-hmm. And then went down to £10 as well very quickly afterwards. So.
Yeah, right. So for a tenner, you know, what can you get for a tenner these days in this economy? So,
Maybe like one, like Wham bar or something.
Oh, no, you can get like a minute of like your house being lit up. a couple of other big upcoming releases are, as we've previously mentioned, we've got Driving Strikers from Luke Benstead, which is the Dreamcast take on something approximate to what's it called?
Rocket League.
Why did I forget that name then? It's the biggest game in the world.
Yeah.
Rocket League. And it's got online multiplayer capability as well, which I believe is a first for an indie game on the Dreamcast, which is
pretty big
amazing.
Deal, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And also Andro Dunos 2, which is a game I have played very recently on the Xbox Series X. It cost me a grand total of £3. And I must say...
Big spender.
I know. It's an excellent game. It really is. And if it runs anywhere like or anywhere like as smoothly on the Dreamcast as it does on the Xbox, it will be for me up there with something like Stormwind. It's a that's high praise indeed, I know, but it's basically a VSCO style Neo Geo shmup, horizontal scrolling. You get similar again, mentioned Stormwind again, you get a similar kind of mechanic where you have different weapons that have different trajectories, so you can use them and flick between them on the fly. So if enemies come behind you, you can like flick between the one that shoots forwards and the one that shoots backwards. And amazing soundtrack, really smooth gameplay, brilliant game.
Mm.
I keep repeating myself, if it runs that well on Dreamcast, we are in for a treat, because it's superb. And it's probably not going to be £3 on the Dreamcast.
Well,
we're talking about physical release here, which is always good.
Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, I hadn't paid too much attention to this, because, well, the way Pixel Heart tends to work is that they announce like a big tranche of games all at the same time. And so I think a lot of them have already released. And I almost forgot about this one. But from what I've been reading, it's one to look forward to, and that hasn't always been the case, really. You know, there have been a few releases from Pixel Heart where, you know, some people have felt that, you know, they're a bit stripped back, a bit of a rush job, but with this one, it's really exciting, because it's a new IP as well, right? Well, not a new IP, but it's a new game. It's not just a port, straight port of an old game.
Essentially, yes. So Androgynos 2 is a new sequel for modern systems in the vein of the original Androgynos, which was a VSCO game on the Neo Geo, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong. But yeah, this is totally new for new systems in that same vein. I've seen some reviews for the Nintendo Switch version, which gave it rave reviews. Steam, rave reviews. Xbox, everywhere that it's essentially been ported to has got really positive praise. Because it doesn't try to be anything that it's not. It's literally just, mm-hmm. I say just, it's a traditional shmup in that Neo Geo style. And it doesn't really do a lot wrong. You know, you've got a nice variety in stages. You've got an absolutely fantastic soundtrack. You've even got, you know, it goes from space to under the sea. So you've got a nice bit of a, almost like a Darius style level in places, mm-hmm. where you've got these like big fish things. So yeah, it's a cool game. I can't see there being a lot of replay value, because there's not a lot of different modes. You've got like a standard arcade, and you've got a mode where you can just basically choose which stage you want to play again to get a high score. Other than that, it's pretty bare bones, but that's what these games are essentially from that time period anyway. So yeah, I always say that I'm not an expert in these types of games, but I've played so many of them. Do you know what I mean? I would never consider myself an expert on shmups, but I can just think back to so many different ones I've played over the years. Like, there was one called Soldner, which I used to play on the Vita, which I thought was brilliant. And yeah, I think Androgynos 2 kind of ranks up with those kind of games, really.
I am partial to a shooter. I normally prefer a vertical one that you can stick in Tarte mode.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm rubbish at them, of course, you know, especially the kind of bullet hell ones. I have to stick it in easy mode and rack up the credits.
Yeah, same. same. I mean, I did that earlier on Androgynos 2, and I gave myself the easiest difficulty, gave myself the maximum amount of credits, and I still got only up to like level 7 of 10. So I'm just like, yeah, you're not the best, let's be honest. But it's just about having fun and seeing what the different stages all look like, you know.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
Yeah. From games that are coming to the Dreamcast, though, to games that maybe aren't coming to the Dreamcast, and this is a bit of an exclusive we've got here, Final Vendetta is a game that came to Switch and other current-gen systems in the recent past. This is a side-scrolling beat-em-up in the vein of Final Fight or Streets of Rage, and it's, again, been getting really good reviews. And we asked Bitmap Bureau, you know, when the teased Dreamcast version might be coming to the Dreamcast. And it looks like it might not be, unfortunately. So, yeah, this is what Matt said, the programmer. He said that he might revisit the math of it, but current conclusions are just more animation than possible to squeeze into VRAM. Mm-hmm. Likely to only ever be a cartridge game. He said he'll run the numbers again this week. Now he has a Neo Geo data, but it's pretty sure that it's not coming to the Dreamcast just because of the limitations on VRAM. So yeah, bit of a blow, because I was looking forward to that. It's a great game on the PS5 and on the Switch and on everything else it's on, to be honest. So yeah, it's quite a surprise to learn. I'm not a programmer. I always qualify everything I say by saying I'm not a programmer, so I don't know. But you would have thought looking at it on the surface, that a game like that would be fine to run on the Dreamcast, but evidently not. No. So
get Ian Michael on it. He'll sort it out.
Well, this is it. You could, we'll talk about Ian Michael a little while later. But we had this conversation earlier on today. It was like, yeah, there's so many talented people in the Dreamcast community that I'm pretty sure anything is possible with the amount of talent scattered around the Dreamcast community.
I think also, like, for developers, like, it isn't just the case of, you know, perhaps maybe you could sort of kind of get it on Dreamcast. I think if you were a developer and you'd like put a lot of time into a game and then, you know, you try to get it running on the Dreamcast and perhaps it wasn't running like to the best of its ability, I don't think that would be good enough, would it? Like, I imagine there's kind of an air of, you know, perfectionism in that as well. Like, you want your game to look the best as possible. So, you know, I can understand that.
Yeah, and those sentiments exactly when we talk a little bit in a while about one of the upcoming topics. The man we just mentioned, Ian Michael, says pretty much something similar. So
yeah,
I was just going to say, I think it's something to be commended, really. If that's the case, if you could butcher it and somehow manage to get some kind of zombie version running, and you decide not to, then that's really commendable.
I mean, we could get a cloud version. Cloud version of Final Vendetta.
it'd be like one of these, you know, downgrades when you used to get something on your Master System when everyone else had their Mega Drives.
Anyway, moving on to something a little bit more positive. Loz, if I say the letters KDDI to you, does that ring any bells at all? Yeah.
King. Something.
Don't mention the king. Don't mention the king on this podcast.
Cut that.
Cut that. Sorry, go on.
Yeah, no, it does. Yeah, absolutely.
If I say the word Capcom as well, maybe that sort of...
Of course. Yeah, so this is... I don't actually know the real names, of course, you never do, of the folks that have been working on this, but there's a couple of chaps... At least I assume they're chaps. They might not be chaps. There's a couple of people on Dreamcast Talk who have posted some very interesting news about some reverse engineering work that they've been doing on Capcom games on the Dreamcast on their online play functions. And basically, back in the day, there was all the Capcom games on Dreamcast were online through something called the KDDI service. I don't actually know what that stands for.
I think it's just the name of the actual telecommunications company that kind of develops the hardware, I believe, or the software for these games to connect.
These the ones that are called, like, you know, Technomancer for matching service?
Yes. Yeah, they are.
I think it is some of those. On Dreamcast Live, the website that we're going to put a link to, all of these games have been added into the kind of work in progress section, which is what I took. I got excited at that part because I thought, well, you know, if folks that actually know their stuff and know what they're doing consider this progress to be substantial, then I can take it. I can actually believe in that. And I think it's massive news, really, for a couple of reasons. I mean, just the sheer number of games. We're talking, I think it's 15 games that could potentially all come back online if these folks are able to crack this reverse engineering. And also, I think it's just really significant because a lot of the time folks talk about getting things back online. There's a kind of a lot of hot air. I even remember being... part of forums, you know, in years gone by where the administrators would get angry about new posts coming up because you'd have people who don't really know their stuff just coming on and saying, hey, folks, let's get OutTrigger back online today. What do we need to do? And the conversation goes round in circles again and again and again with folks arguing that this is real progress. So, yeah, it's super exciting.
Yeah, and for those people who may be listening to this who don't know what we're talking about, essentially Capcom games... primarily in Japan, would be released in certain flavors, where they would have this thing called matching service where you could play it online against other people. So as Lewis alluded to there, you got Technomancer. There's one of the most famous ones is Street Fighter 2, I believe it is, for Dreamcast, which had for matching service. And for whatever reason, Capcom decided to go their own way with online matchup play, you know, kind of eschewing like Dreamcast or whatever Sega were basically offering to developers to include online play. Capcom created this KDDI, this for matching service thing, and for all intents and purposes, it is a lost technology. This is almost like the most extreme level of gaming preservation archaeology, if you want to call it that. To bring something like this back online is taking more than just a bit of coding, a lot of coding, and even some hardware. If I'm not mistaken, they're actually developing something that you can like add to your Dreamcast to like get this thing back online again. It's just mind-blowing to someone like me.
And you know, it's so selfless as well. You know, these folks doing this voluntarily on their own time. I just think, you know, there's a lot of stuff online. You know, it's horses for courses, really. But, you know, there's stuff where it's like, you know, someone posts a picture of Sonic Adventure and goes, oh, who remembers Sonic Adventure? And it gets thousands of views. And then there's folks who are doing this kind of stuff that's really, really, really selfless. So it's fantastic. An update that I saw recently. So I don't believe that hardware modification is going to be needed anymore.
Oh, okay.
I think they've found a workaround. And also, recently, I believe it was Sega RPG Fan, if I'm not mistaken, posted a photo showing that they actually got this working over LAN. So between Dream Pies. So fingers crossed, you know, this is what I really want for Christmas. So let Santa know.
yeah, we'll let him know, yeah. But yeah, it's just to touch on something you say there about people doing this kind of stuff completely for no kind of monetary gain or for fame. They just do it, you know, because they enjoy it. That's almost like grassroots sort of Dreamcast development.
It's quite a big deal as well. Like, some of the games here are just like some of the best ever for the system. You know, I'm just looking at this list. You've got, you know, Capcom versus SNK2, Marvel versus Capcom 2, a game that people still are like want on modern systems, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I saw Power Stone 2. I had a kind of an emotional roller coaster because I saw like I saw like Power Stone 2, and I was like, "Oh my god, you could play it online! This could be a thing?" And then it says Max Players 2, and I was like, "Oh." But it'd still be cool. It'd still be cool. Maybe you could imagine playing like the arcade, like, you know, together, like online. Apparently, you could Max Players for Spawn in the Demon's Hand is 8. That sounds pretty like awesome. So yeah, that's a cool sounding one as well. But I think the coolest one for me probably would be like Vampire Chronicles. That's like an ace game, you know, and
the fact
playing it online would be amazing as well. So yeah, let's see how this goes.
Yeah, it's really cool stuff. Let's move on from the software side of things and move into a little bit of hardware. VMU, gentlemen. Everybody loves a VMU. Everyone loves to hear that little thing beep when you turn the Dreamcast on. That is, unless you've got 1,000 little watch batteries in your cupboard. VM2 is a reworked reimagining of the Dreamcast VMU, brought up to date for the 21st century. We are in the 21st century, aren't we? It's not the 22nd century, is it?
Yeah,
it's 21st. Yeah, no, okay. So yeah, the VM2 is from Chris. I'm going to butcher his name now. Chris, if you listen to this, I'd really apologise. It's Chris Dioglu. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, probably.
I've never pronounced it out loud. I've never said it out loud, so
yeah.
I don't know. He is the guy behind things such as the Dreamcon wireless Dreamcast controller, way before other organisations were looking at doing Dreamcast wireless controllers. He did this one off his own back 7 or 8 years ago now. One I still use to this day. It's fantastic. So yeah, the VM2 is Chris's interpretation of what a VMU would look like if it was released today. So some of the new features it has are a monochrome backlit LCD screen, higher screen resolution, importantly, micro SD storage. It's got embedded high capacity battery so you can recharge it. There's a micro USB connection. It comes with a USB Type-C adapter in the box so you can connect it to a USB Type-C on your computer. if you have one. DreamEye support, it's got the ability to stream the LCD screen to a PC, so you can see what you're doing on your VMU on a PC screen while you're playing your Dreamcast, which is actually quite cool. So yeah, this is coming soon. It's on Indiegogo as we speak. And at the time of recording, the flexible funding goal is £78,000. It's currently at £56,579. One of the big issues I've seen around this is that it's going to cost £100 per unit, which is not an insignificant amount. No. I personally couldn't afford to pay £100 for a VMU at present time. But I can't help but just applaud, really, the work that's going into this unit, because it does look like a really impressive bit of kit. And my hat goes off again to Chris for his expertise in creating something as impressive as this. So guys, just wondered what you think about this. Lewis, what are your thoughts on the VM2?
I think it looks like a really exciting project. Unfortunately, like yourself, Tom, I was, it is probably a little bit expensive for me at this very moment. I'm trying to save up for my wedding, so I'm sure the fiance wouldn't be too happy if I went spending £100 on a VM2. Although, you know, the way it kind of is made out is if perhaps this could be like the one VMU, like the amount of storage it has on it. It's like, you know, you'll never need another one kind of thing.
That's a good point.
You know, and the thing is, like, despite that, I don't actually think the price is like necessarily too bad for, like I say, you know, it could be the one, the VMU to rule them all, you know, it could be that forever VMU, you know, so that in a way justifies the price somewhat. But also, like, the thing people need to remember is this is a person who is a hobbyist who is creating this, you know, he's not like, you know, got some factory in China that he's like figured out a deal with to like mass produce these, you know, at like a better price and like to cut costs and stuff like that. Like, you know, this is purely a person doing it for, you know, the love, and, you know, unfortunately sometimes, you know, to create things that you know, for out of passion, it isn't always like the cheapest thing. So you know, but hopefully a lot, you know, everyone who gets one of these will feel very happy with their purchase, I think. And I suppose the only other sort of thing people were a little bit funny about is Indiegogo, the kind of setup where if it doesn't get fully funded, they still keep the money, and a lot of people are a little bit burnt about Indiegogo and those kind of campaigns. So I did see a few sort of like things about that. Saw a few things about people moaning about USB-C. Like, it's not a Samsung phone, dudes. Like, it's for like a console that came out in 99. Like, what do you want? Like, it's just, what's so bad about micro USB? I don't get it. Anyway, but I also did see it wasn't compatible with Macs, which for the sort of embarrassed bunch amongst us like myself and Tom.
I'm literally on a Mac right now,
yeah,
so,
as am I. Yeah, people like shaking their fists at us, you know, right now. But yeah, apparently it's not compatible with a Mac, and I'm not quite sure why that is. Like, is it not the case that you just put an SD card into the Mac and you put stuff on it? I'm not quite aware of like how you actually put stuff onto the VMU, really. So,
to be fair, mate, you could just buy a PC.
Yeah.
I think it's out of choice, really. You know, it's just a shun.
Yeah, yeah.
The people with the Macs.
And we deserve it as well. We deserve it, yeah.
Considering most of the Dreamcast Junkyard content has been created on a Mac, I think that he actually owes us.
Yeah, be grateful.
Maybe the Mac edition will come, and it'll have a nice Apple logo on the back, and you can pay, you know, £200 for it.
Yeah, and it'll stop working after 2 years. Yeah.
Random aside, has anyone got a taxi recently? Like, there's a load of like taxi drivers who seem to have like these like air fresheners that the Apple logo with like the Ferrari logo in the middle. Like, I don't know why I just thought of that, but that's just so weird to me. Like, what? Sorry, random aside.
No, I've not seen that, but now I'm gonna have to look out for that from now on.
Yeah.
I think what we need to do is get some air fresheners with the Dreamcast Junkyard logo printed up, and you can hand them out.
We should, yeah.
Yeah, or
fridge magnets.
An air freshener that is in the shape of a VMU.
Yeah.
We're going off topic now. Laws, any thoughts on the VM2 project?
No, I think it looks really promising, and I totally get why people are burnt on Kickstarters, Indiegogo, etc., etc., because there's just so many times that people do lose out. But I think Chris obviously has good pedigree. You know, mm-hmm. I think he's trustworthy because of the work he's already done and how many satisfied customers he's got. And yeah, I mean, £100, it is, you know, personally, you know, it makes three of us. I can't afford to shell that out right now. I mean, you know, maybe if I went and turned my thermostat down a bit, then
I'd be able to
get a new kettle, of course.
Some of like, what was it, like metal or whatever it is behind the radiator or whatever.
Yeah.
I can't remember that thing. Yeah.
But I think really, you know, maybe in the spring I might consider it. I think £100 for a premium project is pretty reasonable. When you think about, you know, he has to probably buy all the parts, spend the time putting them together. He's obviously put all this time into research and development. You know, shipping's not cheap. I think it's a fair price, and if people think it's fair, they'll pay it. And obviously, the take up. I was surprised to hear it's already hit that figure. What was it, 50,000? So
yeah, 56,000. Yeah,
yeah, fingers crossed it reaches its goal.
Just as an aside, he did tell me, we did have a little bit of a short interview. I will put links to the article in the description of the podcast, but we did manage to chat with Chris a little bit, and he did explain that he's aware that people might think that the price is a little bit high, but when you consider that he's actually designed a brand new PCB for this thing, it's not harvesting shells from old VMUs, it's a brand new molded shell with the right apertures on it for the new connectors, etc. So it's not just a cheap slapdash thing. This is all brand new, 100% new VMU that we're talking about here. So, we can appreciate that's why the price is high and all the amount of work that that's gone into it, the firmware, all that kind of stuff. So
this got quite a lot of attention on Twitter, actually, when we posted about it. We seem to get a lot of people on Twitter who sort of like see these things we post. Like, for example, there's going to be a brand new VMU, and they go, these are people who don't follow our account, and they're like, what, like the Dreamcast? There's a new thing for the Dreamcast, and they're like, that's my favorite console from when I was younger. And then they're like, wow, like there's still things happening with this console. And yeah, so there's quite a lot of people who get surprised by that quite frequently, and yeah, this one got a lot of attention from quite a lot of those kinds of people.
I find that a lot of mainstream, sort of inverted commas, mainstream like gaming sites will like occasionally put a post about something to do with the Dreamcast, because it's seen as a bit of a sort of a like a quirky, strange news type article. I saw that VG247 had like broken from their usual like updating about current gen gaming stuff, and they'd had a little article about this thing. So every now and then it will break through to the mainstream. And then people in the comments will be like, oh, I love my Dreamcast, but they don't really have any skin in the game anymore. They're not really bothered about the Dreamcast community. They're just kind of, I hate the term, but like casual Dreamcast rememberers or fans, which is fine.
Yeah. We don't want to get all gatekeepy, right?
Yeah, no, not at all, no.
But no, I do find it funny. I do. It's definitely, I think obviously that, you know, a lot of these websites, they'll have writers who are, you know, they've got to hit their deadlines and come up with some copy, and you know, why not? It does sound weird if you haven't been following things to just see a headline which is like, oh, new game for the Dreamcast.
Yeah, for us it's like, you know, Tuesday.
I do think though they're coming onto our patch, aren't they, really?
They're moving onto our turf.
That's it. I think we might keep an eye on that. It might get out of hand.
Yeah.
Speaking of headline grabbing or attention grabbing headlines, move back from the world of hardware back to software. Game came out recently on current gen systems, which is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles: The Cowabunga Collection. Guys, have you played this at all? Are you familiar?
It's a collection. Is it a collection of 16-bit era games?
Essentially, yeah. So it's a collection of Konami released Turtles games from like the arcade and the consoles between the years of 1989, I believe, and 1993. Surprising how many that were actually released for console and arcade between those years, but that's essentially what it is. Not happy with the fact that it's not coming to the Dreamcast. The man we mentioned earlier, Mr. Ian Ian Michael, who is Dreamcast coding royalty, I think is...
Yep.
It's about right, I think. He's bringing a load of Turtle games to the Dreamcast. They are essentially ROMs from different consoles brought to the Dreamcast, but with the added bonus of being hand-optimized by himself and also caps off with a rather impressive-looking front end with some added extras as well, so things that the official collection does not get. So editions of the, or rather episodes of the cartoon series and music and other extras. And I just think it's a really nice fan project to bring something that's, you know, being enjoyed on current systems to the Dreamcast. And it's a bit of an oddity, but it's one that will grab attention if it's shown on these other websites. We mentioned earlier. I was never really a fan of the Turtles, and I've never really been a fan of the games, but I know a lot of people are. That latest one that was on the current gen systems was superb. Yeah, guys, thoughts on this one?
Quite amusingly, actually. I did actually realise this collection was released until Ian Michael made, you know, announced he was making this Dreamcast version of it. I think that just shows that I'm very, very much Dreamcast and maybe not so much everything else. So this is really cool. And again, like I mentioned before, this was actually one that seemed to pique, you know, the casuals' interest on Twitter. There was quite a sort of funny tweet. Some guy was like, "Oh my god! Like this awesome game is coming to my favorite childhood console." No, he said dead console, and I sort of went far from dead. And they're like, "Oh my god! Like I need to like check this out now." So I sent them Loz's article, but this is really cool. And like, you know, if anyone wants to sort of, you know, see Ian Michael's kind of handiwork at, you know, evidence of it, just check out the demo disc that came with Sega Power. That was all him who did that sort of a layout for that really cool demo disc. Yeah. So yeah. Like, you know, he's he wanted to do a little bit more of that, and this is his newest project. So yeah, he really is like just mega in the scene, isn't he? Like he'll just kind of,
I don't know how he does it, know, he just turns stuff out like constantly. Like, I've just decided to do this, like boom.
He's always in the liner notes for things as well.
Yeah.
If you ever stick around and watch the credits for things, whether it's commercial or just homebrew and release for free, you know, he's always, always.
If you're listening to this, Ian, I must say that your profile picture on Dreamcast Talk is fantastic. Also, I just want to give a little bit of a mention to a comment he made on the Dreamcast Talk thread where this whole thing was first announced. Apparently people have been asking for him to put Game Boy Advance games onto the Dreamcast collection.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, I kind of paraphrased this and sort of tied it up a little bit. He says, "No Game Boy Advance games, please don't ask again. I don't want crap running. Not even I can make a Game Boy Advance emulator worth a shit run well enough." You know, and I said, and to be fair, he's not wrong. So, yeah, he can work his magic on the Dreamcast in a lot of ways, in a lot of senses, but not rewriting entire emulators for the Game Boy Advance. But I'll be keeping an eye on this one. And Shredder's Revenge was the one that I mentioned earlier on.
Yeah,
it is good. I've played quite a bit of it, so how I forgot the name of it, I don't know. But Ian, put Shredder's Revenge on the Dreamcast, obviously. No.
I think when this releases, what I want to see is listeners and other folks on the day that it releases, you know, you've got to dress up as your favorite character, you know, maybe Shredder or, you know, the little alien dude that's in someone's stomach.
Krang.
I can't remember his name. Krang. Yeah. And get a big pizza, biggest pizza you can get. That'd be some good photos of you playing it on the Dreamcast and dressed up.
I'll do that. Even though I think I watched Turtles as a kid. I don't know. Like, it's been so long. Wasn't it called Hero Turtles?
It was, yeah. I think in the UK it was called, or was it a cartoon called The Hero Turtles? Teenage Mutant Hero Turtles.
Was it
Turtles?
Because,
yeah,
like BBFC didn't like ninjas or something? I swear
Ninja
that's
craze of the 80s was like sweeping the world.
Yeah, they thought people would like buy nunchucks and hurt each other or something. So they like made it The Hero Turtles. Mad. Ugh.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, that's the Cowabunga collection coming soon from Ian Michael, and keep an eye out on the blog. I'm sure we will have some more articles about that in the near future. That kind of almost brings it to the end on this particular newscast. Just remains for me to say that we will be at the Nottingham Games Festival in December. You can follow them at NotVGE if you're in the UK and you're around the Nottingham area. It's on the 17th and 18th of December. Myself and Lewis, hopefully, will be there. I think just on the Saturday, though. So come and say hello and come and play some Dreamcast games with us.
I think Kev as well. I think Kev is playing.
Oh, brilliant. More the merrier, yeah. So, yeah, come and see us. There's loads of people going to be there, like the Retro Hour podcast are going to be there, Sega Powered are going to be there. There's the Center for Computing History, even like Rare, Wave Games Studios, just loads of people from the community will be in and around that event. So, yeah, come and see us, say hello, get an autograph from Lewis, that kind of thing. You know, it'll be a good laugh. So, yeah, come and see us at the Video Games Expo in Nottingham on the 17th and 18th of December 2022. A little bit of housekeeping now, I think. We do have a Buy Me a Coffee if you want to support the podcast or the blog. Several people have donated to us. We appreciate everybody who donates. And if you want to buy us a coffee, it's buymeacoffee.com/DC Junkyard. So thanks go to Pizza Hotline, BNT Zilla Guy, Chris Nunn, who we've mentioned earlier on. Thank you, Chris, for your donation. Oh, there's a guy here called Loz. He donated as well. Yeah. Some guy called Loz, I don't know. Derek Pascarella.
He could have put that towards a VM2, Loz. He should have saved your money.
Those were different days.
Different times.
Just throwing money around.
We've got Depeche SA. We've got Camton. Zezima. Bonkers. Martin. Jammy 2049. Shed Cade. Thank you for your donation. And Bruce Wayne 911. I'm wondering if that's the actual Bruce Wayne, but if it is, then we won't really reveal your alter ego on this podcast. But yeah, thank you to everybody who has donated and supports the podcast. Once again, that's buymeacoffee.com/DC Junkyard. Yeah, so I think that's gonna do it for this episode. Very packed newscast there. Gentlemen, thank you for joining me on this episode. Where can you guys be found? Loz, where can you be found on the internet?
Ooh, I am on the Twitters. If I can remember my handle, I think it's at LGoodchildUK.
Fantastic, LGoodchildUK. Lewis, where can people find you?
You can find me at LewisJFC and... I presume at the Nottingham Expo in December. But if you do want my signature, you just need to just scrawl my name on a piece of paper, and that's my signature pretty much. So, yeah, there you go. You don't have to come meet me for that. So, yeah, anyway.
Fantastic. You can find us all as a collective on Twitter at the DC Junkyard. You can find all our ramblings on the internet at thedreamcastjunkyard.co.uk. You can find us on Discord, you can find us on YouTube, you can leave us a review on Apple if you want, on iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts. It's you know, it's great, it helps the podcast get noticed. You can't find me on social media because I'm not on it, but you can find us on the blog, as I just said. But that'll do it for this time. Join us again for another episode in the very near future. Thank you, Loz. Thank you, Lewis. And thank you, for listening. Until next time, goodbye.
Here we go!
Please stop this disc now.